Welcome back to Disclaimers Aside, a bi-weekly podcast where I share the raw and honest stories of people in my community, Disclaimers Aside. I'm your host, Aisata Amadou, and let's dive into today's episode. Hi everyone, welcome back to another podcast episode. I'm currently recording this episode in my bed, which I don't often get to do, but I'm at home again for this podcast episode. Tomorrow's my last day at home for winter break. I figured before I leave, let me just record one last podcast episode while I can, while I have the space and time to do so. I'm in bed today recording this episode because I woke up this morning feeling absolutely terrible. I still feel terrible. Next to me, I legit have three beverages, a water, a coffee, and a tea, because yesterday I got my fourth dose of the vaccine, so the most recent booster. I think people started getting it, I want to say back in like September of 2022, so a couple months ago. I actually wanted to get it right away. I think I even booked an appointment in September while I was at Berkeley. But I never ended up following through with the appointment because they didn't have the best appointment times. A lot of them were late at night and also at locations that were a little bit further away from my dorm. So I didn't want to be, you know, going late at night by myself to get a vaccine. So I decided I was just going to wait until Thanksgiving break. I figured that would be the best time to get my vaccine. I'd be at home. Over Thanksgiving break, I got so sick. Like, I had a really, really bad cold. And by the time that I recovered, I only had a few days left of Thanksgiving break and I wanted to enjoy it. So I never got around to it then. And then I was gonna do it over winter break. And the reason I waited till the last minute, quite literally, is because my cousin was over for some time and then I was fasting, making up some days for Ramadan. So honestly, I just have not been able to get around to getting this latest dose. And it hit me yesterday morning that if I don't get this dose now, I'm gonna be so behind. I don't know about you guys, but from my experience with past doses, I haven't been hugely impacted by it. I don't typically get super sick or experience a lot of the side effects that some people experience. But for some odd reason with this dose, I woke up this morning and I felt like I had been hit by a truck. And mind you, I had COVID last year. Actually, it's funny because my first booster shot that I got last year, 2 weeks after I got that shot, I got COVID. I got the Omicron variant. So I've had COVID before. I don't know if that impacts the way that you react to the vaccine, but I woke up this morning feeling like a truck hit me. I had a pounding headache. I still have a pounding headache. And I'm just overall really, really tired. I have a long, long to-do list of things to do, including filming. And so I figured, why not record this podcast first just to ease into my to-do list? Anyways, long story short, that is why we are recording today. I actually came up with the concept of this podcast episode very spontaneously last night. So yesterday, we visited my sister at campus because we were dropping off her new phone. And on the way back from the drive, we were driving in the canyons. Like, if you live in Orange County, if you're familiar with the Laguna Beach Irvine area, there's this beautiful highway that you take through the canyons, and it's essentially just a two-lane highway. It's really beautiful. So we were driving back through the canyons, and all of the things that I love about Orange County started to flash through my mind. I think it was a combination of just like in the car ride, really just being in the moment, drinking in my surroundings, and also knowing that I only had 48 hours before I have to go back to campus, that kind of made me go down this reflective path. And at first, I was just gonna make a TikTok about the things that I love about living in Orange County, because there's been a trend where people will make TikToks that will be things that change my brain chemistry about this aspect of things. So I was gonna do something similar to that. And then I figured, why don't I make this a podcast episode? So that is what we are gonna be talking about today. But before we get into the meat of this week's podcast episode, let's do some podcast polls. I'm not gonna lie, you guys, it is becoming more challenging to create podcast polls that haven't been done before in any variation. So if you just see the most random polls on the podcast Instagram, that's why. But these are the podcast polls that I posted this week, and you guys voted, so I can share my opinion and also delve into the percentage of which poll won. The first one is fresh scents versus strong scents. I personally, if I had to choose it, I would probably choose strong scents just because I like to be able to smell my perfume and I don't have the best sense of smell. And so oftentimes when I have perfumes that are a little bit lighter or just have more of a fresh scent, it's a lot challenging for me to actually smell my perfume. Contrary to my opinion, 85% of y'all said that you guys prefer fresh scents over strong scents. The next one is stevia versus creamer. 92% voted creamer, 8% voted stevia. I have to agree with this one. I do like the taste of stevia. I feel like that's an unpopular opinion, but stevia just never replaces creamer. I need my coffee to be sweet and creamy. The next one is Be Real versus Instagram. I talked about this in my most recent solo episode about social media. I personally don't have Be Real. I don't see myself getting it anytime soon, but I feel like it's become a very popular cultural phenomenon, definitely in the Gen Z age category. So 93% of you guys said Instagram, 7% said Be Real. I think that there's definitely a bias just because I did post this poll on Instagram. Next one is Gossip Girl versus The Vampire Diaries. This was actually really close. 55% of you guys voted Gossip Girl and 45% of you guys voted The Vampire Diaries. Both of these shows are core childhood memories because I watched both of these shows in middle school and they were like some of my favorite shows that I feel like I just tie a lot of my childhood to. But I personally think that Vampire Diaries for me has definitely lasted the test of time in a way that Gossip Girl hasn't. I've rewatched The Vampire Diaries in its entirety twice at this point. I've rewatched all of the originals. I've seen all of the spin-off shows. Whereas with Gossip Girl, I tried to rewatch it, I want to say a year ago, and I could not get through it. It was cringy. I watched it at the exact perfect time for me because that was the time where I could actually enjoy it and turn off my critical brain. So for me, I gotta go with The Vampire Diaries. The last one, kind of on a similar note having to do with Gossip Girl, is reboots, yay or nay. I'm not surprised by the response. 15% of you guys said yay and 85% said nay. There has been an interesting trend of reboots recently where a lot of like popular shows are getting reboots. So for example, in the past 2 years, we've seen the Gossip Girl reboot. We've seen the Pretty Little Liars reboot. I am failing to think of other shows that have reboots, but there have been quite a few reboots. I've seen both the Gossip Girl and the PLL reboot, and I feel like what oftentimes happens is they just are never as good. We can't really expect them to surpass the original show. That's definitely a rarity. But I think just being almost as good is the bare minimum expectations that viewers have. So disclaimers aside, I wanted to tie this week's unpopular opinion to the topic of today's episode. And since we're talking about Orange County, my unpopular opinion is that Orange County has better beaches than other cities. So I think Orange County has nicer beaches than LA. I think Orange County has nicer beaches than San Diego. I've never personally been to Hawaii, but I feel like if I went to Hawaii, the beaches would either be on par or better. I just feel like Orange County has some of the most beautiful beaches. I was talking to an LA native one time in a coffee shop at Berkeley, and we were talking about the fact that a lot of the times the Orange County beaches tend to be cleaner. I think also because Orange County is a little more low-key than LA, it definitely has a little less foot traffic. I definitely think over the years, as SoCal just becomes more and more popular in the media though, that might change. So what is Orange County other than the show that aired in 2003? According to Google, Orange County is a county in southwestern California between Los Angeles and San Diego. And according to a 2008 estimate, I'm so sorry, this is so behind, but this is the first thing that popped up on Google. The population is approximately 3 million people. I'm definitely going to make it a poll this week to see who has seen The OC, just to see like what kind of bias the listeners are coming to this episode on. But let's chat about The OC for like a millisecond, because I feel like that's the only type of media that's online that really represents Orange County. And I've seen a season of The OC I describe it to people as like a knockoff Gossip Girl that takes place in SoCal. It essentially follows these rich teenagers that live in Newport Beach. We have our main character who comes from Riverside County, who comes to live with one of the rich families because he has a lot of trouble in his personal home life. So it kind of parallels Gossip Girl because we have like that outsider figure coming into a new space with rich teens. But I wouldn't say it's as good as Gossip Girl. Maybe I'm just coming from the bias of someone who lives in Orange County. The show takes place in Newport Beach, which, for those of you that are from Orange County, y'all know Newport Beach is the place where, as a POC, you go to get hate-crimed. Quite literally, every time I go to Newport Beach, I get the worst microaggressions in all of Orange County. One time, my sister and I went to the Fashion Island Mall, and afterwards we went to a Coffee Bean to get coffee. This was back when we both worked for Coffee Bean, and so we went there because we wanted to buy some coffee powder, and also, hello, we have an employee discount. So we're there buying our coffee, and quite literally this family of wearing Blue Lives Matter hats and flags comes in, and they just made us feel so uncomfortable. They trailed us with their car in the parking lot. They pulled out their Blue Lives Matter flag. It was not it. And in general, Newport Beach is a very rich area. It's definitely a very rich and white area. So that is where the show is actually filmed. Obviously, with any show, the easiest thing to do is rely on stereotypes. So while I wouldn't say that the show entirely encompasses Orange County, I think it does encompass some of the negative aspects of Orange County culture. And I want to start off this episode by recognizing the fact that even though this episode is titled The Things I Love About Living in Orange County, I had a lot of resentment towards Orange County growing up, especially right before I was going to college. Just for a little bit of context, if you haven't listened to a podcast episode of mine before, I wasn't born in Orange County. I was actually born in Illinois. I lived in the suburbs of Chicago until I was 9, and then we moved to San Diego for a year. And in 2012, we actually moved to Orange County. So interestingly enough, it was December of 2012. We just hit our 10-year anniversary in Orange County this past December. So this episode kind of comes at almost like a perfect time, but I grew up the later half of my life, so basically the end half of elementary school, all of middle school, and all of high school in Orange County. It was a time where I was growing up, I was figuring out my identity, and I guess there were a lot of challenges doing that in a culture where the politics are skewed more towards the right. There's a huge lack of diversity. There's a huge consumer culture. Things aren't really in walking distance, and so public transit can be very stigmatized. These are just a few of the challenges or the limitations or the drawbacks, I guess, of Orange County as a whole. I always tell people, when I tell people I'm from Orange County and college, I'm from Orange County. I love the scenery, but not so much the politics, because it was definitely rough, especially, I think, being here for the war on terror as a Muslim, being here through Trump's presidency, and all of the ramifications that came with all of that. I've kind of talked about some of the drawbacks of Orange County in past episodes. I think in my first episode, I talked about the OC bubble. If you don't know what the OC bubble, it's just this idea that you see in a lot of kids that are born and raised and grow up here, that they're only really surrounded by this culture that I kind of described when I listed some of the limitations their entire life. They don't really experience anything outside of Orange County, and so they fall into a pattern of adopting a lot of the same ideologies that are reflected around them. And this is not unique to Orange County. This can happen anywhere in any suburban town or county, but I think it's difficult because when you come to the point, let's say when you're graduating high school and you're applying to colleges, I know personally for me, I looked at college almost as a form of escapism from some of the negative aspects that I perceived in Orange County. And it was hard to see some of the positive aspects of Orange County really until I went away for college, like far away for college, and I experienced a completely different environment, and I came back to Orange County looking at it in a different light. I think if you are someone who is right now in your hometown that you were born and raised in, have lived in your entire life, and you're feeling trapped almost kind of the sentiments that were like expressed in Lady Bird. That's why I loved the movie Lady Bird so much, because I related to that aspect of looking at college as escapism. While college can be a perfect opportunity for you to spread your wings and experience like a new environment and culture, and that can almost be an opportunity for important change that's necessary in your life, don't look at college as something that's gonna save you. You still kind of have to do that growth on your own. And I think also, if you're put in a position where you're not able to go far away for college and you have to stay close to home, that doesn't mean that you can't change your life for the better. Okay, so having said that, let's get into the things that I love about Orange County. So I mentioned it was the inspiration behind this episode. It's Laguna Canyon Road. Laguna Canyon Road is this highway that goes through these beautiful canyon mountains. And usually for most of the year, because we live in a drought, the mountains are just barren and gray and brown, and they just don't really have much plant or botanical. They don't have much greenery. So they're usually just brown and gray. But driving through there at sunset just hits so differently. Even driving through at night, it is just so beautiful. There are no lights around you at night because there's nothing really built in that area. It's just mountains and a road that runs through it. And you can take this highway all the way straight to Laguna Beach, from Irvine to Laguna Beach, essentially. It's just such a beautiful road. I love driving through it. It's the highway that I would take typically to go to the Spectrum. And there's like multiple ways to go through the Spectrum. You don't necessarily have to take Laguna Canyon Road, but whenever I can, I love to take it because the drive through is just so beautiful and it hits different. And it always feels like the beginning and the end of a journey going through there, because to get to the main highway from where I live, you have to go through there. And then also when you're coming back, you have to go through there. Another aspect that I love about Orange County is the food in Irvine. They have some fire food in Irvine. There's a huge East Asian population in Irvine. Honestly, Orange County, even though it is hella white, has a huge Asian population as a whole. But specifically in Irvine, there's a huge East Asian population. And so they have really, really good Asian cuisine. So many great places to eat. That's what I always tell people when they ask me about UCI. If they're coming from outside of an Orange County perspective, I always tell them, you can say anything about this campus or you can hear anything about this campus, but one thing is, you'll be eating good. I can't really make this podcast episode without talking about Laguna Beach. It was kind of mentioned in my unpopular opinion for this episode, but Laguna Beach is just so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Once you experience Laguna Beach, you don't look at other beaches the same way. I remember when I lived in Santa Cruz and I went to the beaches in Santa Cruz, I was so disappointed. I feel like the beaches in the Bay Area do not hit the same as SoCal beaches. They're unique in the sense that it's cool that you can kind of go to the beach wearing a sweater. Like, I feel like that's kind of nice, especially as, you know, a hijabi. Quite literally last year, I wore a puffer at one point to go to the beach in Santa Cruz because it was that cold. The beaches in SoCal are just so beautiful. And Laguna Beach is interesting because it's not just one beach. It's all of these different beaches placed in all of these nooks and crannies along the coast of California. I don't love Main Beach. Growing up, when we first moved to Orange County, every time my parents would take us to the beach, we would go to Main Beach. So there's that little nostalgia factor, I guess, when I look at Main Beach, but that one's definitely not my favorite. I think my favorite has to be Victoria Beach. It's a little more hidden. You have to go through a residential area to get to it, and you have to park on a hill, but it is so beautiful, especially at sunset. I went there a few years back when I was, I think, a sophomore in high school for a birthday party, and then my freshman year of college, one of my friends was having a goodbye party. She did it at Victoria Beach. We were there for sunset and it was so, so beautiful. Seriously, I love Victoria Beach. Crystal Cove Beach is probably an old reliable. It's one that my family and I used to go to pretty frequently, and it's probably one of the easiest to access. They actually have a Ruby's Shake Shack up there, so you can go stop by Ruby's, grab a burger, and then go sit on the beach. And beyond that, there's obviously more beaches that I personally haven't seen. But you can definitely explore a lot. It's not your typical beach because I think it has all of these beaches that are hidden, again, in these little nooks and crannies that you can kind of discover. And it's just so beautiful driving down PCH. They also have an Earth Cafe in Laguna Beach as well. So if you are looking for a good food spot, definitely check it out. Another thing I love about Orange County is the Irvine Spectrum. Can we just talk about how elite the Irvine Spectrum is? Because essentially, it's this outdoor mall. They not only have like good shopping, but they also have entertainment. So there's like a Ferris wheel, there's a carousel in the winter, they pull out with ice skating, there's a movie theater, they have tons of those like virtual reality places. You can shop, you have your entertainment, and they also have really, really good food. They have a good range of food. They have like fast food like Panda Express and The Melt, but then they also have higher end, nicer restaurants. Like they have a Yard House there. They have a Cheesecake Factory. They have ramen places. They have just so much. They have boba desserts. Like genuinely, it's kind of one of those malls where they, in essence, have everything. In recent years, towards the end half of high school / when I entered college, they really invested in renovating the Irvine Spectrum by expanding parking structures and also just expanding in construction of actual stores, so making stores larger, adding more seating areas, investing in the overall experience of the Irvine Spectrum to make it what it is today. And it is just so beautiful. A fun fact, parts of the Spectrum are actually designed after Spanish architecture. It's actually really, really cool. You see people of all ages shopping at the Spectrum. It's a place where, a hub where everyone can have a good time. And I love it. It's my favorite mall. It's 15 minutes from my house, so it's fairly, fairly close. And it's an old reliable for me. When my cousin Horia was here over winter break, I think she told me that her favorite part of Orange County was definitely the Spectrum. She literally made us drive her to the Spectrum like 3 times. The third time I got so mad because I was like, we have been going to the Spectrum way too much in the past week. But I totally get it, because who wouldn't want to go back to the Spectrum? Another aspect, I guess this is just speaking to the overall geography of Orange County, is the fact that it's like placed in such a convenient spot. It's in between San Diego and LA, like it's equidistant from both. So if you want to go to LA, it's just about 1 hour, 2 hour, depending on the LA traffic, drive. And then same thing with San Diego. We used to live in San Diego, and I remember the few times that we would want to go to LA from San Diego, it would be like a 3-4 hour drive sometimes, which is just so, so far away. I feel like we definitely go more to LA more often, but also in general, Orange County is also just equidistant from like Riverside County and some of the other counties around us. And I have, you know, some family and family friends that live exactly 1 hour away from where I live. So it's really, really convenient just in terms of seeing people, because it's kind of in the middle of everything. I already kind of alluded to this, but the boba shops everywhere. You can find boba shops everywhere. There's a boba shop every 5 minutes that you drive in Orange County. I noticed this a couple summers ago when I visited my cousins in Kentucky, because we wanted to get boba, and I think the closest, they had a boba shop near them, but it was terrible. And the closest boba shop that was good was quite literally 1 hour drive into the next state over, which was Ohio. This might not be a pro for everyone. It definitely is for me, because I love boba and I've grown up drinking boba. Even before it became popular, when we used to live in Illinois, my mom used to get us boba when we were kids. So I love it. And the plethora of boba shops that they have, just because of our proximity to Irvine, is elite. I also have grown to love the summer winters. I feel like I, on the one hand, like crave the four-season life experience, where in the fall it's orange and red and there are beautiful leaves. In the winter it snows. In the spring it melts and it's like starting to get towards summer, and then the summer is like hot. But in California, it, and in SoCal specifically, it's a pretty similar temperature throughout the year. The winters that we have here are probably like East Coast early falls. I've definitely even noticed the difference being in the Bay Area versus being in SoCal, because in the Bay Area, it's definitely a lot colder during the winters. Legitimately, it got so cold this past winter, I had to go buy a puffer from H&M. Whereas when I came home, I could literally pull out my summer clothes that I was wearing. I definitely, on the one hand, think it is beautiful to have like a white winter, but it's also convenient in the sense that your life doesn't really have to end. And I think when it comes to those white winters, you can't do as much in the winter. It's very much, you're spending a lot of time indoors. You can't really go out as much. Otherwise, it becomes a hassle to go out. Going to the beach in the winter in some states is a no-go. And so sometimes I come to appreciate that, especially since like I come back to Orange County and I don't necessarily live here. It's really nice to be here, I think, sometimes in the winters. That being said, I would love to experience a white winter at least one more time in my lifespan. Another thing that's beautiful about living in Orange County is the mountains and the mountain views. The closest mountains, I think, to us are Big Bear, or at least those are the popular ones that everyone goes to. I feel like people know Big Bear if you guys watch like the OG YouTubers' annual Vlogmas Big Bear trips, or if you grew up watching that. But those mountains are pretty close to us. I think they're about like 1 to 2 hours away. I've been to Big Bear like a few times before, and just having the mountain views is beautiful. In my hometown, you'll be driving and you'll see the views of, I think it's either the Big Bear Mountains or the Saddleback Mountains. Not sure which, but it's beautiful. And if you go to like Riverside County, or like you go to like Redlands, Highlands, that area, you'll be way closer to the base of the mountains and you'll be able to see them in their just full glory. And it's so beautiful, I guess, being surrounded by that nature aspect. Another thing I love, there's this bookstore in San Clemente, which is a beach town in the direction from Orange County to San Diego. I think it's like a 30-minute drive from my hometown, and it's called Beach Town Books. It's a used bookstore. They have used and new books, so you can come in, you can sell your own books that you have for store credit, and you can also buy books. You can buy new books or you can buy used books, and they're often discounted. It's a really, really cute bookstore, and San Clemente is just a really cute beach town in general. There's an outlet there that sometimes my mom likes to go shop at, or sometimes my sister likes to go there. So whenever they go there, I love to stop by Beach Town Books. Sometimes I will sell some of the books that I have, or just buy new books for a discounted price. And it's just such a cute little beach town area that I feel like not everyone knows about. This next aspect of Orange County is highly specific to my experience, and for a while I kind of looked at this spot as in almost a negative light, because I feel like I have a little bit of trauma tied to this, but it's my local Barnes & Noble's cafe. Every time I go to this Barnes & Noble's cafe, I feel like I'm straight back in high school. And the reason why I say like there's a little bit of trauma tied to it is because in this Barnes & Noble's cafe, I did everything. I met up with friends to work on group projects. I studied for my SATs and my ACTs, because I started off by studying for the ACT and then I realized I was not going to do well on that test. And then I switched over to the SAT and I realized I also wasn't going to do well on that test. And I just realized in general, I was not a good standardized test taker, but I spent months studying for those, both of those tests. I applied to college in that Barnes & Noble's cafe. I eventually went on to go and do my first year of online college. A lot of the times I would be in class on Zoom in that Barnes & Noble's cafe, or I would meet up to work on schoolwork with friends that were also doing online school in that cafe. This past summer when I had internship work, I would sometimes do work at that Barnes & Noble's cafe. There's a lot of nostalgia that's tied to that Barnes & Noble's cafe. I was talking to my sister last night about this episode, and she's the one who actually pointed it out to me, because she also has a lot of nostalgia tied to this Barnes & Noble's cafe. Legitimately, last year, it was her senior year of high school last year, and every day after school, she would go to this Barnes & Noble's cafe and do homework with her friends, and then she would come home. And honestly, I wish I had thought to do that when I was in high school, because I was definitely the chronic, like, I just do homework in the kitchen when I was in high school. I liked going to the cafes on the weekends, but during the weekdays, I didn't really study outside of my house. And I feel like I just got very, very distracted by that. Like, so distracted so easily because I was in the kitchen. I didn't really have a desk in my room in high school until, I want to say, late junior year of high school, senior year. So for the first half, I typically studied in the kitchen, and I guess that habit kind of stuck. But there's just a lot of history, I feel like, tied to this Barnes & Noble's cafe. And so every time I go there, it just feels so nostalgic. And even to this day when I go there, I see people in middle school and high school meeting up and studying, and it's just so, it's such a weird experience because I think about all of the different versions of myself that sat in that cafe and did work. I remember one time I was studying with my friends for the ACT. It was like the night before the ACT and we were all taking the same ACT test and we were panicking. I think it was my early senior year of high school, or maybe it was junior year of high school. And I, of course, was like worrying out loud, just basically saying all this nonsense about if I get this score, like maybe I will be able to get into college and that score. And I remember a girl at the table next to us interrupted and was like, I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but I just want to let you guys know that whatever happens, whatever score you get on this test, you will get into college. Everyone gets into a college. Whether it's your dream school or not is a different story, but you will get into college and you will get into the school that's meant for you eventually. I remember that was very comforting for like a minute, and then I just proceeded to not believe in her. It took me a long time to see it. It took me actually going through the process myself to see it. But I guess I'm passing on that bit of wisdom to you guys. If you guys are in that phase of your life where you're stressing out and you're tying your GPA or your SAT score, some kind of statistical number to your odds of getting into college, don't do it. It's more of a headache than is beneficial, and things will work out the way that they are meant to. It may not align with what you envision, and sometimes that can be hard to reconcile with. Eventually, things will work out in the way that is most perfect. At least that's what I believe. So, I don't know, all of those emotions just flood my brain whenever I walk into that Barnes & Noble's cafe. Every once in a while, I'll go there to, like, read a book or, I don't know, like, plan out my life, and it just feels so nostalgic. In fact, if I can get through my to-do list today, I might even go there today because I need to actually get ready for the new semester, download my syllabi and watch some lectures, order some textbooks, that kind of stuff. And I was just going to do that here. But now this is making me want to go there today. Maybe we'll do it one last time before I go back to campus for the new semester. Sunsets in general in Orange County just hit different. Obviously, at the beach, a sunset is going to be even more beautiful than a normal sunset. But I don't know what it is. The sunsets are just so beautiful. I noticed them a lot more. My first year at Santa Cruz, I remember when I came home because that campus is in the forest and the trees and you would never really see the sunsets. I remember noticing them so much more, and it's like a similar phenomenon in Berkeley because of just where my dorm is. I don't really get to see the sunsets as much unless I go out and like seek it. So it's just so beautiful to be able to like look out your window and see the sunset. Last but not least, this is just a feeling that I get sometimes when I'm driving at night, but the view of the city lights at night in my hometown make me forget that I live in this suburbia. There's a lot of like hills and valleys when you're driving in my hometown. When you're kind of at the top of a hill or you're a valley and you're looking down or looking to the left as you're driving by and you see all of the city lights at night, it just feels like you're driving in a city. Like, you could close your eyes, pretend that you're in a city. This is obviously coming from someone who has never really lived in a city before and has always been a suburb girl, but that's just me, and it's always been my dream to live in a city. I guess now that I'm getting older, I'm kind of reconciling with the fact that Orange County is my new home, my new hometown. It's been 10 years at this point, so I've long left behind the notion that this is my new town, I'm the new girl in Orange County. At this point, sometimes I forget that I lived anywhere other than Orange County. You know, when something is your hometown, I guess even if there is a lot of trauma tied to your past experiences in your hometown, your brain kind of does this thing in order to cope or to survive, where it just romanticizes it. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. So lean into the romanticized aspects of your hometown, especially if you're in a place where you can't really leave or you can't really move for a good amount of time. The way you get through your days is by romanticizing it. So I hope you guys enjoyed this week's podcast episode. If you guys don't already, you guys should definitely follow the podcast Instagram for Disclaimers Aside. I'll have the link to it in the show notes just to be a part of the community. And also to vote on those future polls. I will see you guys in my next episode. Bye.